And Amanda is going to come and bring our reading to us.
Today's reading is from Exodus 3, 1 to 14. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mount of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God said to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word and thank you for the reminder of the way that you spoke to Moses. And thank you that you are the God who still speaks today. And we pray that you will speak to each one of us. Reveal to us new truths about you. Help us to know that we are living in the centre of your will and living exactly as you want us to. Inspire us, encourage us and challenge us. And by your Spirit, Lord, transform us today as we continue to live for you. Amen. When I started secondary school, for some reason, my name didn't appear on the class register. So that meant at the beginning of every new subject in the first week, following the register, the teacher would say, Is there anyone here who I haven't mentioned? And up would go my hand. And they would say, What's your name? Now that's quite an easy question for most people, but in my case, that meant I had to spell my name every single time. Can you imagine, as an 11-year-old starting a new school, wanting to blend into the background and actually get on to know people and not be seen as different, having to spell your name at the start of every lesson in the first week? The only bonus was that by the end of that week, not only did the class know who I was, but they knew how to spell my name and they never got it wrong for the next 5 years. Now, names are important. We use them as a way to introduce ourselves to others and a way to let other people know that we know who they are. And this morning, as we look at this really unusual event in the book of Exodus, we hear how God called Moses by name, and in the conversation that followed, how God revealed who he is to Moses. In verse 6 that Amanda read to us, we heard that as Moses approached this really bizarre sight that had caught his attention, a bush that was on fire but not burning up, God introduced himself. I am the God of your father, he said, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now this short phrase, which is only 20 words long, actually tells us so much about God. Those words are full of so much meaning and significance. And perhaps that's why in this chapter, this phrase is actually used three times. So this morning, I'd like to look at what we discover about who God is from this important description of him and how that impacts our lives today. First of all, what we can learn and what Moses learned is that as Abraham before him learned, God is the God who calls and leads his people. I am the God of Abraham, God said. Now, Abraham was called by God to leave his secure home and his family in the affluent and sophisticated part of the Middle East known as Ur, and to go to an unknown destination. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 12. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. What a momentous occasion in the life of Abraham. But that wasn't a great occasion just for him. It was also incredible for the whole of the people of Israel. Here, God was promising to Abraham a land with numerous descendants. He was promising to bless him, to protect him, and to bless him through the nations. And God, the God of Abraham, who had called him and promised to bless him, was now calling Moses to go back to Egypt and lead the people out into that promised land. Now, when we read these stories, we read one in Genesis and one in Exodus, and Exodus follows Genesis. And it's easy for us to forget that actually centuries had passed between Abraham and Moses. And during that time, Abraham's descendants had experienced vast changes in where and how they lived. But although much had changed for the people of Israel, God hadn't changed, and his promises were still true. The call of Moses, like that of Abraham, was to take him on an unexpected expedition to an unknown place, through undreamt experiences, and would lead him to encounters with God that he could only begin to imagine. But for all that he was going to experience, Moses needed a bit of reassurance from God that God would keep on leading him. Now, God knew this, and to reinforce this, he gave Moses confirmation of his word through a sign. And in verse 12, we heard that God said, this will be the sign to you that it's I who have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, that's a great encouragement. That's a sign that's really important to Moses, because when Moses reached that place, I'm sure he would have remembered those words and known, yes, God is leading me. But I wonder, actually, if this sign was also a bit of an indication to Moses that the journey before him might not be quite the way he would expect or wish it to be. You see, Mount Horeb was not situated on the direct route from Egypt to Canaan. And actually, this place was a wilderness. It was almost the opposite of a land flowing with milk and honey that had been promised. Put yourself in that place for a minute. If you got back to that mountain and you felt God had led you to lead people to a great place, would you think, what am I doing here? Have I maybe got it wrong? Have I misheard the instruction? Have I taken a wrong turning somewhere? But because God had said this, this word would have encouraged Moses that actually this journey was all part of God's plan. Despite every appearance to the contrary, God had called Moses, he was leading him, and Moses could have confidence in the Lord. God is unchanging, and the unchanging God that Moses met is the God who still calls and leads his people today. He is the unchanging God who calls us to be his children and be part of his family. And he calls us to share in his mission so that he can work in us and through us to bring his kingdom into being. We're only just a couple of weeks into the start of a new year. I wonder, are we aware of God's call upon our lives? We don't all experience a dramatic encounter in the way that Moses did. Actually, most often God speaks in a still, small voice to us. But either way, God does speak, he does call, and he calls us to be disciples of Jesus and be part of his salvation plan for the world. This morning I want to encourage you to take some time in the coming week to reflect on these verses and how God called Moses, and to ask God to speak to you. For some of us, perhaps it is the moment for us to respond to God's call to welcome him as Saviour and Lord. For others, maybe we just need a fresh sense of God, what God wants us to do, how he wants to work through us, maybe in our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods, in our friendship groups, and how we use our gifts here at church. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And as he heard these words, Moses would also have remembered that this God is the God who can always be trusted. Isaac was the son of Abraham. He was the son that Abraham had been waiting for and was actually part of the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to make him into a great nation. So when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, the son whom he longed for, the one who seemed to be a gift from God, it was an instruction that really didn't seem to make much sense, let alone one which would be expected from a God of love. But Abraham trusted God, and he believed his promise. And in doing so, both Abraham and Isaac found that God's word can always be trusted. If you know the story, you know that God provided a ram to be a sacrifice instead. So when Moses received God's call to return to Egypt, and he heard that this God is the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, he would remember this is the unchanging God whose word could always be trusted. The people of Israel now were so numerous in Egypt that Pharaoh had considered them a threat. As a result, the Israelites were being oppressed, and eventually the king ordered all of the newborn baby boys to be killed. Moses knew that well, because his life had been miraculously spared. And so he knew that the task before him was actually daunting. Returning to Egypt, the place that he'd fled from 40 years before, to confront Pharaoh, the one who was inflicting such misery and oppression on the people of Israel, wasn't that bad enough? But then to actually announce to Pharaoh, oh, I've come to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, and I want you to release them from slavery. Is it any wonder he needed a bit of reassurance for what was going on? But this is the unchanging God, the God whose word can be trusted, the God who'd promised to not only lead the people out of Egypt, but to lead them into a land of blessing. Through all his fears, all of the unknown situations, Moses had to depend on the unchanging God and trust his word. And today, the God we worship, the God we know, the God we pray to, is the same God. Perhaps today it's especially relevant in our climate of uncertainty, as people are confronted with desperate situations and trying to take stock of what's happening in life. To know that God can always be trusted and we can stand firm on our rock. He is truly dependable. He is faithful to his promises, even though there are times when our circumstances might appear to be giving us a different picture. Like Abraham, Isaac, and Moses discovered, we can trust in him to provide for us and lead us to fulfill all that he's called us to do. The Lord said to Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when he heard that it was also the God of Jacob, Moses would have been reminded that actually this God was the God who he could hope in, because God brings transformation. Jacob is such an interesting character, and he experienced God in a remarkable way. If you were here last week, you would know that having received a blessing through deceiving his father, Jacob went on the run. And while he was running, God spoke to him in a dream, promising to be with him and to bless him in the future. Jacob encountered a God who offered forgiveness and brought him hope. He understood that God still cared about him, even when he'd been foolish, and he wanted to be with him and work through him, taking his broken life and bringing transformation. As Moses understood all that God had been to Jacob, he knew that the unchanging God who was speaking to him today was still the God who could bring transformation. What a comfort and a relief this must have been to Moses. 40 years ago, Moses had felt the misery of the Israelites. And being so caught up in it, he'd taken things into his own hands and he'd ended up murdering an Egyptian. That's why he had to run away into the desert. And then he met his wife, and he became a shepherd for his father-in-law. And 40 years later, here he was, meeting God and being called to go back to Egypt. But this time, to rescue the Israelites God's way. As God spoke to Moses and revealed himself to be the God of Jacob, Moses knew that God could take his life, even with his faults and his failures, and transform it for his purpose. He could see how God could transform the desperate situation facing the Israelites and bring them into a place of blessing. If you read on in that chapter, towards the end, verse 21, you'd read that God said, I will make the Egyptians favourably disposed to this people. So when you leave, you won't go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbour and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, and you'll put on your sons on which you'll put on your sons and daughters. In other words, not only were the people of Israel going to be released from slavery, that's pretty fantastic, but they're going to be released with an abundance of gifts and then going off into a land where they'd be blessed. That's the kind of transformation that God can bring to our lives. And our unchanging God still brings transformation today. He offers to meet every one of us in our weakness, with our faults and failings, when we know our past and he knows our past, but he wants to bring us forgiveness and transform our lives, so that we can accomplish all he's called us to do. He has the power to transform situations that look full of despair and to give us hope. He is the God whose word we can always trust, the unchanging God on whom we can always depend. What an amazing description that God gave of himself to Moses to reassure him. And how did Moses respond? Well, with a great deal of reluctance, actually. In fact, Moses' response to God's call is to feel completely inadequate. "I am nobody," in effect, he says to God. "How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" But God revealed himself to be the all-sufficient God, who was actually all Moses needed to get that task done. The whole of the dialogue that then takes place between Moses and God is to bring Moses to the point of trusting in God. And it's summed up in verse 12. God said, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Now, I think Moses' reaction to God's call was pretty understandable, especially if you've been in a situation before where you felt ill-equipped or unqualified or not ready for the task that is before you. At times like that, I wonder, what are those things that make us lose our confidence? When are those times when we feel afraid to complete the task? And if we've expressed that doubt to anyone else, what do people tend to say? Because I think it's really interesting to see how God actually responded to Moses here, and read on through chapter 4, because that's really fascinating. You see, in all of his doubts and questions, God didn't deny Moses' weakness. If you've been in a situation of weakness, you might have said, "Well, I can't do this because I'm not very good at that." And someone might try and encourage you and say, "Yes, you are. Yes, you can." But God didn't do that. When Moses said that he didn't feel that he was eloquent enough to speak, God didn't say, "But you are a really good speaker. You just haven't got confidence." Actually, when Moses said he wasn't good enough, God was effectively saying, "No, you're not. But I am." In the same way, God didn't say that Moses' insecurity didn't matter. His response was to say, "I will be with you." God is the all-sufficient God. He's all Moses needed to do that job. And he's all that we need to do what he calls us to do. As Moses expressed his fears and worries, God responded by saying, "Yep, I hear that. But what about me? I am the unchanging God. Have you taken that into account?" When the task before us seems overwhelming and all of our insecurities and inadequacies seem too great, God still says to us, "But what about me? The unchanging God will be with us in all that he's called us to do. And like Moses, he wants us to trust him with all our hearts." This morning, I wonder, what are the situations that you are facing today? Do you feel that God has called you to do something where you feel actually you're not quite up to it? Our insecurities, our inabilities, our doubts can sometimes consume us. And sometimes we feel, "I just can't do what God's asked." But when we feel we can't do it, we need to remember that God can. When the anxieties and the suffering that we face cause us to stumble, we need to remember that God is the unchanging God who can always be trusted, who can bring transformation, and in whom all things are possible. Let's take a moment of silence and then that will lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you are the unchanging God. You are the living God. And just as we've heard that you spoke to Moses, so you want to speak to each one of us today. Help us to listen and to hear. Lord, I pray for those of us who feel on the edge of things, that we've perhaps had a sense that you're calling us to make you our Lord, and we haven't quite had the courage to do so. Lord, give us that strength and courage to say, yeah, I can't answer all the questions, but I want to put my trust in you. And Lord, for those of us that are already away down that journey, remind us that you are constantly calling us and wanting to work through us. Help us to hear your word afresh for our lives and to know how you want to use us to bring in your kingdom. Lord, for those of us who are struggling in life at the moment, where things around us don't seem to make sense and we're struggling to see you in the midst of us, give us that strength beyond ourselves to keep on trusting in you and know that you are there and you are faithful. And for those who feel like there is no hope, there is no way forward, remind us that you can bring transformation. You can change situations and you can change our lives. And for each of us today, Lord, I pray you will help us to meet you in our place of weakness and vulnerability and insecurity and be all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.